those verses there. We're excited about this service this weekend and believing God to pour out His Spirit and move in a mighty way. Come expecting something great. Amen. We do have classes at 12 and service at 1 p.m. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Tonight, this is lesson 7. And we're going to be looking at the subject of personal relationships. Personal relationships. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for this church and all that you are doing. We thank you for your spirit that we feel here tonight. I pray that you'd reveal to us great things from your word. Lord, challenge us, strengthen us. I pray that you'd encourage every heart. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It is vitally important that every Christian keep good human relationships. And we have a duty, and yes, we have a scriptural responsibility to live peaceably with all men. That includes our family members, fellow Christians, business associates, government authorities and as well as our acquaintances. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it tells us, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, and especially those who are in the church. So we see that we have two categories of neighbors that we're supposed to love and get along with. First of all, every man, every woman, every girl, every boy in the world. And then secondly, our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. This takes a lot of self-control. It requires a lot of self-control. We must have constant control of our actions, of our attitudes, of our speech. Paul said in Acts chapter 24, verse 16, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." So he was constantly working at that. It was an exercise. He had to work at it. Amen? And we have to work at it as well. For our own good and for, because we represent Jesus Christ and His church, we should do our best to keep a clear conscience before God and before people. As we read tonight in our text, a lawyer comes to the Lord one day and he asked him, which was the great commandment in the Old Testament law? And so Jesus answered him by saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart," amen, "and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So our Lord came not to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And he felt that love was the most important ingredient in religious life. Love was the most important thing. After all, God is love, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. A close look at these words of Jesus shows not only the command to love, but also to whom our love is to be directed. And in this scripture here, Jesus points out three basic relationships that every human being has. We have a relationship with God. It may be a good one. It may be a bad one. It may be existent. It may be non-existent. But we have a relationship with God. A relationship with our neighbors, and a relationship with ourselves. The Bible tells us that God is love. Let's talk about our love toward God. We know that Jesus Christ was God manifest in flesh, and therefore Jesus is the personification of God's love. It's from him that we learn about the highest form of love, which is sacrifice, sacrificial love. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He sacrificed himself. He gave of himself because he so loved the world. Because he gave himself to us, now we desire to give ourselves to him. And it's just like we read in 1 John, or we read in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. I don't know about you, but when you think of the love of God to us, when you think of all that he has done for us and how he gave his life for our sins, how he sacrificed himself so that we might be free, when we feel that love directed towards us, it stirs up a love within us. It's required that we love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And love toward God, it involves communicating with him through prayer. If you love somebody, you're going to talk with them. Amen. It involves learning about him, which we do through studying the Bible. And it involves worship to him, expressing our love and worship to him. And we must also obey God in everything. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 declares, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." How dare we say that we love God if we're not interested in keeping his commandments? And which one is the leading command? Well, we read it in John chapter 15, verse 17. "These things I command you, that you love one another." Amen. So let's talk about our love toward our fellow man. When a person loves God with everything that's within them, love for others is the ultimate result. And so when we receive the Spirit of God, we receive the spirit of love as well. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If there is no love in our hearts, if there is no love in our life, then we truly need to examine ourselves to be sure we're full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the only visible indications of our love for God is our love for our neighbor, which is the second greatest commandment. Let's read tonight 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and verse 21. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have, or have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." God's word is pretty plain here. If we can't love others, then we really don't understand the love of God. In order to know how to love our neighbors as ourselves, Jesus gave us some very practical guideline in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. He said, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." And these are the greatest words that have ever been spoken about having good human relationships. It's been paraphrased in many different ways and commonly known today as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What a great way to explain how we should love others and how we should treat others and love our neighbors as ourselves. Help us, Lord, to love our fellow man. And then the Lord commanded that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Evidently, Jesus knew that we humans love ourselves. In fact, he wanted us to base our love for others based on the self-love that we do possess. Now, it's not against Scripture for a person to love themselves, under the right context. To live a normal and a happy life, every human being needs to have a healthy respect for themselves. And that only comes through having a positive self-image. If we do not love ourselves in this manner, we'll find it difficult, if not impossible, to to express love to others. This is because true love is really, it's giving of ourselves to others. So if we don't respect and have the proper love for ourselves, how can we possibly feel right about giving ourselves to others? The only way a person can respect and love himself is to have a right relationship with God. There's a lot of people in our world today, they don't have a proper self-image. They are struggling with how they view themselves. And ultimately, I believe it's because they don't have a right relationship with their Creator. Once we have the right relationship with the Creator, then we can see ourselves not as this world sees us, not as even we see us, but we see ourselves as God sees us. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we see ourselves as God sees us. And then and only then can a person be free from attitudes and actions that destroy human relationships. When we have a right relationship with God, we can have a right relationship with others. When we have a right relationship with God, we can have a right relationship with ourselves. So we clearly see how love is the primary factor in achieving good relationships, and this is the wisdom of God's two greatest Old Testament commandments. The words of Jesus sum it up in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Praise the Lord. We read about the priority placed on love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's often called the great love chapter of the Bible. And I'm going to read these verses here tonight, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going to read this in the New King James Version. The King James Version says charity. Of course, we know that as love, and that's what's said in the New King James. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love, it does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And now abide, verse 13, now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Praise the Lord. Most of our problems in life can be traced back to a lack of ability in getting along with people. And so God is going to help us tonight. If we want to enjoy life, then we must learn to have good relationships with others. We're going to look at some different relationships that we can have and how we can work to improve each of them. The people that we associate with, they fall into several categories, including family, church members, work associates, government and city officials, and others. And so generally, if you have a problem with one of these categories of people, you'll probably also have problems with other categories of people. But if we can improve with one category of people, our relationships, it'll also help us improve our relationships within one of these other categories. So first tonight, let's look at our relationships within the family. Sadly, we are seeing an obvious breakdown of the family in modern society. The increase in broken homes, it gives a warning to us as Christians that we need to work on building relationships in the home. This is something we need to work on. Husbands, wives, parents, young people, children, young marriage. We need to work on building proper relationships in the home. the father and the husband is to take his place as a loving, sacrificial leader and provider. Mothers and wives were created to be a helpmeet for their husbands. And throughout history, they were to love their children and to keep the homes. And modern society has changed things somewhat, but it's still very important for us to have and keep that motherly influence in the home for the stability of the family. So I know, sometimes it takes two incomes now to do what one income used to be able to do, but we've got to find a way to still keep that proper relationship within the home. Children ought to respect and obey their parents. Boy, I tell you, that's being challenged in our world today. It's being challenged all over the place, but we've got to realize we are not trying to abide by what this world says family relationships ought to be. We're not trying to look at whatever the most popular television show is and say, well, that's what I want my family to be like, that modern family. God forbid. No, I want to look in the Bible and the Word of God and the one that created the family, and Lord, show us how our relationships need to be in the home. These God-given roles and responsibilities are the best way to experience harmony in our family life. Amen. God, He loves the family. He created the family. He wants to bless your family. Don't live according to the principles of worldly families, but Lord, I want to live according to your principles. And then God, let your blessing be upon our home. Give us harmony in our marriages. Give us harmony with our children. Lord, save us. Save our children, Lord. Some of you raised your children right, and perhaps today they're far from God, but they know what's right. They know what the truth is. Keep praying for them. Keep praying. Keep believing. Amen. Because you instilled that proper foundation. Amen. And they know what the Word of God is. Secondly, we see relationships within the church. As part of the family of God, we're all part of the body of Christ. And according to Romans 12:5, it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." That being said, we become very close to one another in the church. That's a wonderful blessing. However, it can also bring friction if we're not full of the Holy Ghost. It's very common for those who are nearest and dearest to us to be the ones that hurt us the most. And because our brothers and sisters in Christ are so close, we need to be especially considerate of them. The apostles give us quite a few instructions on how to treat one another in the church. Let's look at some of these things. Here's some of the things Paul had to say about this in the book of Romans. He said, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Be of the same mind one toward another. Love one another. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Be like-minded one toward another. Receive ye one another as Christ also received us." In 1 Corinthians, he told the saints to care for one another. To the Ephesians, he wrote, "Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We know we're supposed to forgive. You know, somebody in the world does us wrong. We know we're supposed to forgive. It may take a little while of praying through that to get to the place and the point of forgiveness. How much more in the church? Brothers and sisters in Christ, amen, we need to forgive one another. Amen. If I've done you wrong, I ask you to forgive me. If you've done me wrong, I release that today. I forgive you. Amen. What a blessing and what a freedom forgiveness is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Forgiveness is not just for the world. Forgiveness ought to be in the church. That's just Paul. The other apostles all spoke extensively about loving our brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's very clear that it's so important for us to work on improving our relationships with those in the church. After all, we're going to heaven together, hopefully. That's a long time to be with somebody you can't get along with. And probably if we can't get along, we're probably not going to make it. So let's get this right. Are you aware tonight that about one-third of the average person's life is spent working and earning a living? About one-third of the average person's life is spent working and earning a living. And so since so much of our time involves our employment, we ought to adjust some things to make sure that we can give it our best and hopefully have fun doing what we do for a living. Those who are Christians, they should be the best workers on the job. They should be the most cooperative. They should be the most dedicated. They should be a positive witness through their work. But doing a good job is only half of it. Getting along with fellow workers and the public, if your job involves that, that is vital. It's more than just doing a good job, but how do we get along with others? The people we work with every day on the job, they get to know us pretty well. They pay pretty close attention to you. They see us in times of stress. They see us in moments of temptation. They see us when we're mistreated. They see us when we're sick. They see us when things just don't seem to go right. Whoever a person really is, their coworkers will eventually know them pretty well. In the workplace, there's both horizontal and vertical relationships. Vertical relationships, that deals with our superiors and those who are under us. Horizontal relationships, those are those that we are on an equal level with. A Christian must have an attitude of cooperation. We need to submit to those who have authority over us, and we need to be fair and impartial to those that are under us. Loyalty to the company is important, but people and biblical principles need to come before profit. Amen. It's all tied in together, but it's part of being a Christian. What about witnessing on the job? Well, of course, the best witness is truly living as a Christian every day. But as we grow close to coworkers, and the subject of church is naturally probably going to come up. That's just how it is. We ought to let God lead us through any open doors. But some jobs are different. Some jobs may allow for unlimited conversation. Other jobs, there's not much conversation. You're supposed to be working. When we're working for somebody else, we are being paid for our time and paid for our attention. And so we should live our lives as a constant witness, but be careful that we're not cheating our employer, spending too much time witnessing when we're supposed to be working. Amen. Let your life be that example. There'll be plenty of times, breaks and lunch and after work, that you can discuss that specifically. Don't take advantage of your employer. Amen. Did you know the Bible has a lot to say about employer and employee relationships? Did you know that? It called it servants and masters. And so it's a little different today, but it applies to employees and employers. Here's some scriptural job descriptions for employers or the masters and employees, which would be the servants. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So it goes both ways there. It goes both ways. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus, our Lord Christ. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Amen. Having the right attitude, it's key to being satisfied with whatever our job is. And if we'll take the advice of these scriptures, and if we'll work as unto the Lord, whatever our job is, if we'll work as unto the Lord, then I believe we'll see our job as an opportunity to serve the Lord and to please the Lord. And we'll work for our employer just as if we would work for God himself. When we have that kind of attitude, and we go to work as we're working unto the Lord, that's the kind of action and that's the kind of work that results in promotions and pay raises and good relationships. Amen. So work as unto the Lord. All right, now looking at our relationships with our government, with our leaders, God's word teaches us to honor the leaders of our nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 reads, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, we don't have a king. We have a president, a governor, and senators, representatives. As the people of God, we are also to be subject to the leaders of the land. Civil authorities are elected for our benefit. They provide order in our government system. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to do thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. The Bible also tells us to pay our taxes. Did you know that? And we shouldn't cheat on them. Now, don't go pay more than you're supposed to pay, okay? In Matthew chapter 22, they asked Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes or not? They were hoping. Jesus asked them to bring him the tax money. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 20, we read, and he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God those things which are God's. Romans 13 and 7, render therefore to all their dues tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. As Christians, we should respect the laws of the land. Christians ought to be the most law-abiding citizens in our communities, unless the laws are opposed to God's laws, or if those laws would involve us in sin. Then, of course, we should find a way to please God first. We live in a day today where it's very common and accepted to criticize leaders and authorities. In fact, it seems like it's just very well accepted and even celebrated to be very loud and to be very vocal in criticizing whatever leader and whatever authority is that someone doesn't agree with. And even to the point of trying to incite rebellion, I want to tell you, that's unscriptural. What are we to do? Does that mean we just ignore what's going on around us? No, we should exercise our right to vote. We should be involved. But we aren't instructed as Christians to start up a rebellion. Instead, we're instructed to intercede and pray for our rulers. Amen. Let me give us a couple scriptures here tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul wrote, he said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. A lot of times we read that and we stop right there. But look at verse 2. For kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's many today, they're not leading a quiet and peaceable life because they don't have a background of the church and the foundation of the Word of God. Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. If we'll be guided by these principles of the Word of God, then we'll establish an image of a true Christian with those that we interact with in the world. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 tells us, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. When we become a Christian, our name gets changed. Our name used to be gambler, liar, cheat, murderer, drunkard, self-righteous person, hypocrite, etc. Now we're called Christian, holy, a witness, child of God, a vessel of the Spirit of God. As a child of God, not only do we have our own name to protect, but the name of the Lord as well. Folks, I don't know if you realize it, but we represent Jesus Christ. God forbid that we do a terrible job of it, bringing reproach upon His name. We must live consistently as Christians with wherever we happen to be and whoever we happen to be with. It doesn't matter if it's with unsaved friends. It doesn't matter if it's on the job or if it's casual acquaintances, maybe in your neighborhood, or salespeople or waiters or waitresses. Maybe it's a complete stranger somewhere. We're supposed to be a consistent Christian, and we represent Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this, but apostolics, you don't fit in. You're not meant to fit in. You're meant to stand out. You're meant to be special. You're meant to be God's chosen people. And I want to tell you, whether it's a man or it's a woman, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't fit in this world. And you might go into a restaurant and you think, well, nobody knows who I am. Nobody knows what church I go to. I want to tell you, you stand out like a sore thumb. And you're meant to. It's God's plan. But we're representing Jesus Christ. Give a good tip. Give a good tip. I don't even know what the appropriate tip is now. It used to be 15%, then they went to 18 and 20. Now they got like 22%, 25%. Just give a good tip, okay? Give 20% or more, all right? Be a good witness. Be a good witness. If that salesperson is struggling, don't be rude to them. Who knows what they're going through? Show the love of Jesus Christ. Every human being we come in contact with should be able to detect that we are a representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and His love is flowing through our lives. Think about it this way tonight. If we were put on trial for being a Christian, if we were put on trial for being a Christian, and if everyone that we have ever come in contact with was brought in to testify concerning our life, would there be enough evidence to convict us of being a child of God? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Okay, all of you husbands out there can probably answer this pretty easily. What is one of the easiest ways to either make or break a relationship? You're probably thinking of several things, but if you're not sure which one, it's this. By the things that we say, by our words. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 tells us, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and help to the bone. Pleasant words. Words. Words can make an ordinary person into an attractive person, or an attractive person into an ugly person. Words can heal deep wounds, or they can pour salt on them. Words. Words can soothe angry tempers, or they can provoke someone even more. Words can give hope to the discouraged, or they can plunge someone into the depths of despair. They can point the way to Jesus Christ, or they can drive people away. They can honor God, or they can curse Him. They can build up or tear down a family. Words can make and keep friends, or they can lose them quickly. Words can make the difference in someone being hired or fired. They can make the difference in someone being promoted or demoted. Words can make a church come alive with the love of God, or they can quickly kill it. As Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our personal relationships, our relationships with people, will be established by our own tongue. The words that come out of our mouth leave a lasting impression on people. How we use our tongue, it will not only label our character, but it will affect the eternal destinies of those that we speak to. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help our words. Help our speech. Help our tongue, God. It's not an easy thing to control the tongue. It's not an easy thing to cultivate wholesome speech. James chapter 3 verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It is humanly impossible to tame the tongue, but with God all things are possible. Praise the Lord. This unruly member of our body, the tongue, can only be brought under control by the one who has all power in heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. And through God's Spirit, we've been given power to tame the tongue. Isn't it interesting how God chose speaking in tongues as the evidence of the infilling of His Spirit? Amen. Isn't it something how God chose to use that unruly member of the body to be the evidence of His Spirit filling a life. Amen. Because you have to submit it all to the Lord and say, God, I'm not my own anymore, but I give you everything, including my tongue. With God's help, we can develop wholesome speech, and our words can be honest, they can be kind, they can be edifying, graceful, gentle, and pure. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. How many have ever heard the saying, God gave you two ears and one mouth? Yep. James chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Help our words, God. So as we're working to develop positive relationships with people, with all the different types of people around us, we need to consider what we say, how we say it, when we say it, and sometimes we got to realize that's something I shouldn't say. Amen? Stop elbowing that person next to you. Y'all need to smile just a little bit here. I know it's Wednesday night, but you can smile and be relaxed a little bit. Turn to somebody and say, I love you. You can say that to someone. You can love a brother or a sister in the Lord. And if you're sitting next to your wife, you better tell her you love her. In closing tonight, we want to consider one of the most important reasons for us to have great relationships with others. Witnessing. Witnessing. As we grow in love and as we grow closer to God, And as our new personality, as we've come to the Lord and He's filled us with the Holy Spirit, He's changing our lives, as our new personality starts to show the fruit of the Spirit, it will attract others to us. And people will notice the change about your life. Now, this is a discipleship series. It's for new Christians and for those that need review. And we're teaching it to the whole church this first time through. So some of you, you've heard this exact lesson, perhaps taught, but different ones in different ways, maybe in years past. But we all need to have a renewal of this because we need to be showing forth the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Just because we've been in church for 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years doesn't mean that we have the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. We need to be fruit inspectors and study our life. And Lord, how do you see me? And am I showing forth the fruit? Am I bearing fruit? And if not, we need to pray through all over again and spend some time at an altar so that Jesus can work on us. And as we show this fruit of the Spirit to others, people are going to be attracted to that. You can't help but be attracted to the things of God. We're going to have a lot of chances to share the good news of salvation, especially when new people come to the house of the Lord and God starts changing them and working on them. People realize, they say, hey, what's different about you? What's happening about you? What's going on? And you can share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. We should always go out of our way to share the love of Jesus with others. Now, nearly all great soul winners agree the best way to win someone to God is to first win them to yourself. You got to be a friend to someone. They've got to trust you. They need to know you. They need to like something about you. So here's some suggestions for meeting and making new friends with their salvation in mind. Okay, you ready for these? These are just common sense, but sometimes we've got to think about these. So here's a few hints on how to win friends. Be neatly dressed, fresh, clean, to present a good first impression. And carry some of these. Yeah. If you're going to pray for someone on the altar, you better have some of these. Okay? If you're going to meet somebody for the first time, you need to have some of these. Amen. If you don't know what these are Tic Tacs, mints. But you want to create a good first impression. Be natural, be casual, be sincere. Become genuinely interested in others. Let them know they're important. Become genuinely interested in their life. Now, this is a big one here. Smile. 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 Go out of your way to greet people enthusiastically. Be happy to meet them. It is so good to see you. How are you doing? And smile. Learn their name. Use their name. Remember their name. Some of our leadership groups have been reading a book that says the most sweetest sound in any language to a person is their own name. Learn their name. Use their name. Remember their name. Be complimentary and always display a positive attitude. Don't be a drain on people. Don't suck the energy right out of them, but be a positive influence and encouragement. Exercise the most courtesy and manners and politeness. Respect others' opinions. Never bluntly tell someone they're wrong. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. Especially when witnessing. Don't just let the word work on them. Never condemn, degrade, or make fun of people or their religion. So there's just a few hints about how to win friends. Here's some pointers in making good conversations. And one of the best ways to be a good conversationalist is to simply be a good listener. Be a good listener. When others speak, we should always listen carefully and intently. Maybe you're not that outgoing of a person yourself, but if you can ask the right questions, you can let people talk all day long. Try to understand their point of view. talk in the other in terms of the other person's interest. Here's an acronym to help us keep conversations going. Use the acronym FOR, F-O-R. It stands for family, occupation, and religion. And there's others, but this is the one we'll discuss tonight. Keep this in mind. Here are some questions that we can use to make friendly conversation in witnessing for Jesus Christ, F-O-R. So, introduction. Everybody can do this, okay? We're going to practice. Turn to somebody and say, hi, what's your name? Wow. You can be a witness. You can meet new people. Amen. You can become a friend with someone. Last night, I had to run to Walmart late. I was in St. Louis area and had to get something. And so I'm standing there trying to figure out what I'm supposed to get. And this young man was in the same aisle. And he says, hey, those are some nice shoes. And I looked down. I guess he was talking to me. And I looked at my shoes. And I thought, man, they need to be polished. But thank you. And I went back looking, and he said something else. He said, look like you just came from work. And I said, well, just came from a meeting. And he said, oh, yeah, what type of meeting? And before I knew, now he was trying to sell me something, folks. but he had the gift. He had the gift. Amen. Learn, it's simple. Just start, hey, what's your name? What's your name? Okay, F, talk about family. What about their home? Do you live around here? Oh, are you from Springfield? You can ask them about their marital status. Are you single? Are you married? Now, if you're a young man, you don't want to ask a young lady that maybe, or vice versa, you know. But ask them about their family. Do you have any kids? How many? What's their names? What's their ages? Oh, I've got one that's 10 years old too. You talk about other things about their family, their relatives, their place of birth, mutual friends, trying to find some connections there with them. Okay, so F, family. O stands for occupation. Where do you work? Oh, really? How long you been working there? Well, now what exactly do you do there? What does that company do? You can ask them about their education or their training. Did you have to attend a special school for that job? Or where'd you go to college or have specialized training? Ask them about their hobbies. Do they like sports? And what do you do for relaxation? What do you do for enjoyment? Get to know something about them. This is an excellent place. If you can find some kind of common interest, this is an excellent place to develop a new friendship with someone. And then R, religion. Now, this can be a touchy thing. But handle it in the right way, and it might open some doors for you to be a witness. So ask them. Ask them about their church denomination, or just say, hey, do you go to church anywhere? Oh, yeah? What kind of church is that? Where's that located? Ask them about their services. Well, when are your services? What are your services like? Tell me about a typical service. Who's the pastor there? Ask them about their involvement. Are you active in any ministries? And get them talking about their religious experience. Ask them, what are your personal beliefs or what are your convictions? Sometimes people say, well, I don't go to church anywhere. Well, then that's just a wide open door, all right? Sometimes they'll tell you a little bit about what they believe. And this is an inoffensive way of approaching religion that will help us discover our new friend's position on God. And it may also open up, after you've asked them these questions, it may open up a chance to share your personal testimony with them. So gauge their response and see if there's an open door, and it may lead to asking them for a Bible study. Hey, would you like to get together and study the Bible together? Or would you like to come to church with me? We've got a great church. I'd like you to come sometime. You may even have a chance to say a prayer with them. It may open a door for you to say a prayer with them before you part ways. So use wisdom, be patient, but work on being a witness. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? Now, some of you are sitting here and thinking, well, I'm not an outgoing personality. I'm just a shy person. I can't be a witness. I can't talk to people. I can't be friendly. I want to tell you, every single one of us can work on this. You know how I know? Because, number one, God's going to help you. Number two, I'm naturally a shy person. I naturally don't like to talk very much. I naturally am nervous about meeting new people. Now, I've had to work through that just a little bit here, and I've been talking for a little too long tonight, but God will help you if you ask the Lord, and then if you'll act with faith. So next time you're at that store, next time you're pumping your gas, next time you're at that place of business, next time you're in your neighborhood and you're walking around the block and your neighbor's walking the other way, use that as an open door and say, God, if you'll give me the words to say, I'll say it. And I'll try to be a friend, and I'll try to make some new contacts and personal relationships so I can point somebody to you. Amen. How many of you today you'd like to grow in your personal relationships, whether it's in your family or here in the church or maybe on the job? Amen. Maybe with somebody in your neighborhood that you'd like to win for Jesus Christ. Why don't we pray tonight in closing? Let's ask God to give us wisdom. Let's ask God to let the love of Jesus Christ shine forth through us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence, for your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you would let your love shine through us. I pray, God, that you would let your love, let it overwhelm us, Lord, so that everyone that meets us can feel your love, can see your love, can know that we're a representative of your kingdom, God. I pray that you'd help us to be a witness. Help us to have a heart and a burden for others, God. Help us to look beyond ourselves so that we can show forth your love. God, I pray that you'd open doors even this week, Lord, for us to be a witness, for us to make some new friends, and for us to point people to you. I pray, God, that you'd give us the words to speak. I pray that you'd open the right doors, God. I pray that you'd give us a boldness to say what needs to be said. Lord, I pray that you'd help every one of us in our relationships. I pray that you'll bless our families. I pray that you bless our marriages, Lord. I pray that you bless us in the workplace. I pray that you'll bless us. Lord, God, give us wisdom about what to say and what not to say. Help our words, Lord. Help our words in Jesus' name. God, we want to bring glory to you. We want to bring honor to you. We want to be a great example for you, realizing, Lord, that Lord, people are looking at us knowing that we're a Christian, knowing that we should be different than the rest of the world. Help us, Lord, not to disappoint them. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before we go, I wonder if we could just take a moment. As I mentioned here earlier, there was a wonderful just drawing of the presence of the Lord at the beginning of our prayer service tonight. Would you just let the Lord just kind of draw your heart close to him right now? Would you forget about everybody else? Maybe just raise your hands and just focus on the Lord for a moment. Lord, we love you. Lord,